I'll be honest with you, I've never really enjoyed shopping for clothes. It's just not my thing. But I do like getting nice clothes, and I like looking good, and I like feeling confident when I get dressed. So what's the solution here? It's Stitch Fix. This is an online personal styling service that has helped so many people get better style effortlessly. So stop scrolling through a bunch of websites and stop driving to stores and just go to Stitch Fix. Here's how it works. It's very simple. You take a quick style quiz. You share your size, your vibe, your budget. You're going to get linked with a stylist and an actual human being, by the way. So you get linked to the stylist and they do the rest of the work. You get sent a fix box with clothes that actually fit you and make sense for your style and your needs. And then you try them on. You keep what you like, you send back what you want to return, the returns are free, the shipping is free, no subscription is required, and you're gonna get a free try on for your first order. So get started today at stitchfix.com/football. That's stitchfix.com/football. Let's have a conversation about life insurance because it's a very important conversation to have. I know my wife and I felt like we needed life insurance. We needed to protect our future. We needed to know that if something happened, we could still make our house payments and provide for our kids. And if you need life insurance, I recommend Ethos. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions. You can get up to $3 million in coverage, and some policies are as low as $30 a month. And Ethos is popular. It has 4.9 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot with more than 5,500 reviews. Take 10 minutes to get covered today with life insurance through Ethos. Get your free quote at ethos.com/FFT. That's ethos.com/FFT. Application times may vary. Rates may vary. Trustpilot rating as of 8/1/2026.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play! Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races!
Here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
And it's a big day here in the FFT world. Welcome to the show. It is Monday, August 24th. Adam Azer and Heath Cummings. Jamie Eisenberg joining us shortly. FFT Open underway. Heath Cummings had the first pick in the Heath Cummings division, and he took
Jahmyr Gibbs.
Jahmyr Gibbs. Very good. I have the eighth pick. I'm hoping to make two picks today. Slow drafts for the 36 divisions. Now, not all of them have started because we still have 10 spots. I believe we only have 10 spots left, Heath. 10 spots.
That is fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah. I think we're going to do it. I think we're going to sell it out and raise $99,000 for St. Jude. So some of the leagues will start Thursday if we haven't sold them, because Wednesday night is our draft-a-thon show. I'll tell you more about that later. But also, why am I in a good mood? Because it looks like, don't know yet, looks like Ashton Jeanty avoided a worst case scenario, calling it an ankle, or it's been reported as an ankle sprain, but we haven't heard from the team yet. But yesterday there was definitely concern that this was, you know, a very long-term injury for Ashton Jeanty. The Browns named a starting quarterback. We already put the over-under on 2.5 games of him being the starting quarterback, but we'll get to that. And today, risers and fallers, not only in the rankings, but looking at CBS ADP. Take a look at David Montgomery up 5 spots, DJ Moore up 4 spots in ADP, Jonathan Brooks up 9 spots, and he's actually going 68th on NFC average draft position over the last 6 days. We'll tell you which players are falling as well. Heath, give me your reaction to the Ashton Jeanty news. He goes down in practice yesterday. Dave Richard was at the practice, and I think there's a general sense of surprise that it wasn't worse than what's being called a sprained ankle right now.
And we don't know how bad the sprain is. So I think we've may hopefully dodged the season-ending bullet. We don't know if we've dodged the missing the start of the year. I, late last night, had moved it to Ashton Jeanty at the 3-4 turn. Mike Washington, I drafted in round 8 of a draft that was going on last night. This morning, I have really struggled with Jeanty against basically everyone in round 3. So definitely not. I moved him behind Derrick Henry, behind Saquon Barkley, behind all those running backs that might go in round 2. Right now, I have him at the 2-3 turn, Mike Washington at the 9-10 turn. This is still a fluid situation, and either one of those guys could still be moved during the show.
Yeah, listen, if you're if you're in the FFT Open and your spot comes up and you're thinking about taking Genty, I would wait 3 hours. I would take the entire time.
If we get to the 2-3 turn in my league after I just took Jahmyr Gibbs first and Ashton Genty is available, I will use every second of the clock.
That's 6 hours you have there.
I think it probably just auto picked me after three.
Well, you could take 2 hours, 59 minutes, make a pick, and then we'll take another 3 hours. I hope that doesn't happen. Jamie, where are you at on the Raiders running backs right now?
Almost the same spot Heath is. You know, I think the 2-3 turn makes sense. He's in round three for me, but that's the spot after all the other running backs we had in the top 12. So I do think that, like he said, you know, we just don't have all the information yet. You know, we don't know if it's a high ankle sprain. We don't know if he fractured anything in his ankle. We just don't have all the details. It sucks that Dave's not going to be there again. He was at the practice yesterday when he got hurt, Dave Richard. So hopefully, you know, we get some more information and fantasy managers can react. The drafts last night, like Keith, I'm sure, alluded to, were wild. I had somebody text me that he still went 13th overall. You know, I saw some drafts where they were back-to-back, Washington and Genty. It's just one of those, you know, things where timing of drafts matter and, you know, why we try to have you wait as long as possible. So we'll see. You know, I hope it's great news. You know, we got good news. I hope it's great news. You know, that's a, you know, mild ankle sprain or not a, you know, significant high ankle sprain, that he's not going to miss, you know, a lot of time in the regular season.
Yeah. So we have a question. If you knew Josh Jacobs were not getting suspended, would you take Jacobs or Genty?
Jacobs.
I mean, again, not knowing the Genty length of injury right now, it's close. So I guess just to be smart, you'd lean, or be safe, I guess you lean Jacobs.
Yeah, and then you just mentioned, this comes from Autumn Voyage. Ankle sprain did a number on Jonathan Taylor. I'm worried about a 4 to 6 week and him and Genty not being as explosive for a while even after that. But Jamie just said that was a high ankle sprain for Jonathan Taylor, and he missed 3 games. And I've kind of gone over, I don't remember all the details. I feel like he wasn't as good, but also his yards per carry was like 4.7 yards per carry after the high ankle sprain, and I think it was 4.8 before. CeeDee Lamb had a high ankle sprain in week 3 last year. He came back and he was great. So, but this is not, from what we've heard, not a high ankle. Well, I wouldn't say that. Just, we haven't heard that it is a high ankle sprain.
We have no information right now. I think the things you got to factor in with Genty, which you were clearly factoring in before, and now you're throwing an injury on top of it. Their projected win total is 5.5. They have among the worst schedules in the NFL. They still don't have their quarterback situation settled, which isn't necessarily a bad thing because they seem to be comfortable and confident with where both guys are in terms of Kirk Cousins and Mendoza. But we know it's still a limited offensive skill, limited offensive weaponry in this, you know, on this roster. So there were things that were working against him to begin with, and now you're just throwing in the biggest thing, which is this injury. So when you're comparing him to Josh Jacobs at this point, or Kyren Williams, you know, those guys that are going in early to mid round three, Javonte Williams, you know, you can certainly pass on Genty and take those other guys. I think it's just easy at this point to, you know, all the other top 12 running backs to just say, okay, I'm taking all those guys, Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, you know, Ken Walker, you know, just keep working your way up. They're just in a much better spot right now, just kind of under the circumstances.
And I also think, go ahead. No, I think the way that Washington has popped in the preseason, and I kind of thought he was a little underrated before this all happened. Like, I don't think we are getting a Ken Walker, Zach Charbonnet. People like to use that reference because of Kubiak. I don't think we're getting that type of split because I don't think Washington's going to take those high value touches that Charbonnet took. But I do think it's likely that we see a bigger split than people were expecting between these two running backs.
So last question, someone asked who the backup is behind Mike Washington, and this is a bad running back room at this point.
That's one of the great appeals of Mike Washington as a backup is Dylan Laube.
Well,
I think the one thing to even factor in if Genty does miss time, Dario Gumawale is going to probably play on third downs.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's the one sort of wrinkle to all this is that I think Washington – benefits the most without question, but is there another guy? For me, I would anticipate it being Ogunbowale, but I also think that if this is significant and we may not have dodged a bullet, then you're going to hear James Conner, Trey Benson, you know, somebody that's know, on the bottom of somebody's roster, Jaleel McLaughlin, for example, if the Broncos want to trade in division, somebody, Isaac Garendo, you know, you could get some name that we know may not be better than Washington, maybe better than Washington, you know, going into Las Vegas and ruining that potential handcuff option right now. So there's still a lot of moving parts to this, just to keep in mind.
Okay, just and last
Connor
question.
The Raiders makes a ton of sense.
Exactly. Last question. Let's just say, just to get your idea of like how good he could be, if this were a season-ending injury, he won, or Ashton Jeanthi won the lottery and retired, where would you rank Mike Washington or draft him?
Right around Bashaill Tuten, Jadarian Price, so like 26, 27.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Okay. All right, moving on. We've got Mike Evans leaving with a quad injury, but it was called precautionary, of course. Great stuff. But the better news is that Christian McCaffrey's back. And not only is Christian McCaffrey back, well, so is Jordan James, but Christian McCaffrey said that this was the plan all along, was to sit him during training camp and to ramp him up as he got closer to the season. So when we get into risers and fallers, which will be soon, the guys will tell you why Christian McCaffrey is a riser. Dijon Stribling is day-to-day with a shoulder injury. He practiced in a non-contact jersey, so I don't think that's a problem there. Mike Mayocco, who covers the 49ers for NBC Sports Bay Area, he thinks that they could keep George Kittle out for week one, but he expects Mike Evans week one. But I think he may have said that before. Yeah, he did say that before this little precautionary quad injury for Mike Evans.
Which one?
Yeah. ESPN's Jordan Renan said that Najee Harris was signed under the premise that he's going to be a significant contributor, which not to take a shot at the writer or anything, but that's like a little vague. I don't know exactly what that means. I do think it's good that Cam Scataboo did not play against the Dolphins and Tyrone Tracy and Devin Singletary did, and Tyrone Tracy fumbled. But is
you know what Scataboo's ADP is?
No.
34.8.
Oh my goodness.
That's dry. Incredibly atrocious.
Yeah, that's very high. Let me see where it is on NFC over the last week. Scataboo. Well, I have it toggled to wide receivers. Sorry. Over the last week on these higher stake leagues, Cam Scataboo is going as RB19, but he's going 50th, but these are very wide receiver heavy leagues, so the running backs fall. But RB19, how's that sound to you guys for Scataboo?
It's a little too soon, but still the range for him, though. I just think when you see him, like on our site, he's ahead of Javonte Williams, he's ahead of Travis Etienne, he's ahead of Swift. Like, no way I could do that.
Right. Okay, a few more news items here. We got some quarterback news. But also, Rashad Bateman, turns out, was arrested in June on family violence charges. So that's been under wraps for a while, but we'll see if he's going to face a suspension. Rashad Bateman. A report, Heath, from Jonathan M. Alexander in the Houston Chronicle. It says David Montgomery and Woody Marks could have close to a 50-50 split. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't think it will be like the 50-50. I don't think it will be a 50-50 split, first off. I've been higher on Marks, lower on Montgomery for most of the summer. I don't think this is like a Kyren Corum or Swift Monongai thing where they're necessarily sharing drive or splitting drives. I think Montgomery is still going to get all the goal line work, and you're still hoping for him to pay off at ADP by scoring double-digit touchdowns. I think Woody Marks is probably going to play more on passing downs than Montgomery. I think Montgomery's ADP is too high. I think Woody Marks' ADP is too low, and they'll hopefully come together a little bit. But as I looked at the notes, I noticed that David Montgomery's ADP is getting higher, not lower.
Yeah, he's up to 51st on CBS. He's also 51st on NFC in that time frame, the last 6 weeks. CBS, you know, we have the one thing I don't love about ADP data is that, you know, I can't really set a date range on most websites. So it's got ADP from all over the place. That's why on NFC, you know, you can look at a certain date range. But Dave Montgomery ahead of Quinshon Judkins, but on both websites, CBS and NFC ADP over the last 6 days. Is that Jamie? Heath? Jamie first. Montgomery or Judkins?
Right now, Judkins, but they're back-to-back for me. You know, again, I think when you talk about the profile for both guys, you're expecting, you're hoping for touchdowns to probably be the saving grace here because you probably aren't going to get a ton of receptions. I think Judkins probably has a better chance to do that. But that said, the win total the opportunities. If they were closer in age, I think it would be easier. Mm-hmm. Montgomery's probably in a better spot. So that's a move that I've been kicking back and forth. And Scadaboo, to be honest with you, too, because this whole mess of how many players are there. So my rankings right now are Scadaboo, Judkins, Montgomery in that order. And I feel like Montgomery is in a better spot than both those guys.
Heath?
He's third for me. Judkins, okay. Scadaboo, Montgomery for me.
All right. Get to the quarterback notes here. And Cleveland named Deshaun Watson their starting quarterback.
I don't think they were watching. Cleveland love that.
I don't think they were watching preseason week two. He was so bad.
The amount of self-control it took for me to not boo when you said that. No, it's awful. But I think like the speculation I've seen on Twitter is just that it's a lot easier to bench Watson and go to Sanders than it is the other way around. I've set 2.5 starts as the over-under for Deshaun Watson.
It's also easier to lose with Deshaun Watson and set yourself up for what you're trying to do, which is 2027.
Patrick Mahomes expects to be ready for week one. And Michael Penix Jr. has been cleared to practice in full. When do you guys think Michael Penix Jr. will eventually become the starting quarterback for the Falcons?
Yes.
I don't know, but it's one of the reasons that I've not been concerned about Drake London and Tua's performance is because that if Tua is as bad as he was in the preseason game, then he's got Penix and he's already been awesome with Penix.
Yeah. All right. Our Draft is On show is Wednesday night, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern, lining up guests from around the industry. Alfredo Brown, Joe Pisapia, Jake Seeley, the Front Yard Fantasy guys are going to come on and lose to us in Fantasy Feud again. Ben Gretsch is going to kick off the show. He's our opening act. And I've got to get some more on as well. I didn't call anyone a moron.
Wow. He's already got a moron. he's hosting.
We got to get some more guests on as well. But Nando should be on. Hopefully Scott Fish. Those guys always end the show with something fun. So that's Wednesday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern. And if you're if you have signed up for the FFT Open and haven't accepted your invites, I think we've got about 6 or 7 people. Please, please, please accept your invites. The drafts are starting without you. I'm sorry. We've emailed many, many times, but if you're listening to this and you haven't accepted your invites, you're not in the league, your league has started the draft, please accept. Not every league is drafting right now, but most of the 36 are, and we only have 10 spots left. So if you want to in on the FFT Open, tinyurl.com/FFTDonate2026. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today with risers and fallers in the rankings. I'm going to talk to you right now about Omaha Steaks, and this is a perfect time for me to do it because just last night I cooked 4 Omaha Steaks for my family and they were awesome and we completely devoured them. And tonight, Omaha Steaks burgers and hot dogs for the family. They also have seafood and side dishes. They have so many things at Omaha Steaks. If you want affordable, easy to make, delicious food, Omaha Steaks is honestly a no-brainer. This is like having a trusted butcher and gourmet shop in your kitchen. And let me tell you about the burgers. Incredible deal here. Try a Burger Perfection Flight for just $79.99. This is what you're getting. 20 premium steak burgers crafted from 5 distinct cuts of steak, each with its own unique flavor profile and texture. Again, incredible value. So try the Burger Perfection Flight from omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99, plus get $35 off with the promo code FFT. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code FFT for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Whoop, the wearable health and fitness coach that gives you personalized insights into your sleep, recovery, strain, and overall health so that you can make decisions aligned with your daily goals. Whoop is intentionally screen-free, meaning no constant pings to get more steps in. Instead, it works alongside a mobile app to deliver deeper psychological insights that help you truly listen to your body. Whether you choose Whoop One to power performance, Whoop Peak to elevate long-term health, or Whoop Life for medical grade tracking, you get a tailored experience designed for your journey. Personally, for me, I love using Whoop because it's during football season. I have a hard time keeping up with my exercise. I have a hard time keeping up with my sleep. It does a great job in keeping me on track. So I love using Whoop to help me get through what is a grind from now until January. So make sure you're checking out Whoop. For more, head to whoop.com.
I have a good friend who's almost done with his GLP-1 journey, and one major lesson he learned is that when you're in a calorie deficit, nutrients per calorie matter more than anything. Why struggle with digestion or feeling sluggish when you can make life simple? That's where Grüns comes in. Grüns delivers a convenient, comprehensive formula in one delicious daily pack of gummy bears. And this isn't a multivitamin, a greens gummy, or a prebiotic. It's all of those things and then some at a fraction of the price. And bonus, my friend says they taste great. And since taking them, I can see that his energy is up. He says his gut health feels on track thanks to 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. And the ingredients are amazing for supporting beauty, immunity, and hair strength. So if weight loss is the goal, it's all about nutrients per calorie. And Grüns has everything needed to help. Save up to 52% off with code FFT at Grüns.co. That's code FFT at GRUNS.co. Let's get into risers and fallers, brought to you by Whoop, the wearable device that gives you personalized insights into your sleep recovery, your strain, and how daily choices may be influencing your overall well-being. Jamie's got his Whoop on today, right? Let me see that. There it is. Oh, Heath has his too. Look at that.
Love it.
Is it great?
It's awesome.
Great. Fantastic.
That's great. If you want to learn more, head to Whoop, WHOOP.com today. All right, Jamie, send in a list of risers. I think Heath agrees with a lot of them, but let's find out. All right, you got Brock Purdy and Christian McCaffrey. We'll start with those 49ers. Purdy and McCaffrey as risers, Jamie.
Yeah, I think I might have left off Kittle, but Kittle also a riser now that he's been cleared to play or cleared to practice. I think, you know, for me, I was kind of in this conundrum of Purdy, Stafford, Goff, and Dart. Prior to all the 49ers news, I had Purdy last of that quartet and Dart first, and I basically just flipped them. So I left Stafford and Goff in the middle and put Purdy ahead of it. I just think that Kittle being cleared, hopefully Evans will be okay, what Stribling has shown, and now McCaffrey's back. Like, that gives Purdy just an amazing group of weapons, and hopefully he'll still be as successful as he was last year. I know you like to bring up this a lot, which is fair, that, you know, he feasted on some of the worst defenses last year, but he's also been pretty solid throughout the course of his career and very steady. So they're all in the same tier for me. I just have Purdy at the top.
Yeah. Where's McCaffrey now?
So McCaffrey just moved to a cold spot. Just the fact that he was cleared. He was 12th, or I think he was 11th, but now he's 10th. So maybe one spot. But just being healthy and then just moving some running backs around, you know, with the Genty news, you know, dropping him down. So shuffled those guys in the second tier for me. Taylor's still at the top. Cook is now 4th. Chase Brown 5th. McCaffrey 6th.
All right. We've got Woody Marks.
And Kittle's now tight end 9.
Okay. Kittle's tight end 9. So that puts him ahead of who?
Ahead of Fannin and Kelsey. He was behind those two.
Heath, where are you on Kittle?
I need to move him up, but I don't think he's going to get into my top 10 or top 10. Not in my top 12. Just right around 13 is most likely where he lands. I will have a tight end riser that you disagree with just a little bit later in the show.
Oh, okay. Very excited. Mike Washington Jr., a riser. That's obvious. And we talked about him earlier. Kalon Black, is a clear handcuff for you, Jamie, to McCaffrey?
No, not the clear handcuff, because Jordan James also returned yesterday. So we'll see how this unfolds. James was the projected backup before he suffered the rib injury. And then Kalon Black dealt with the knee injury. Black came back first. He, by all accounts, has looked good. We'll see how this, you know, sort of plays itself out. My guess is that they'll use both guys if there is an injury to McCaffrey, and then whoever's the better of the two, they'll stick with, kind of like what they've done in the past. You know, Raheem Mostert wasn't expected to be the backup a few years ago when he took over for Elijah Mitchell. Garendo eventually took over for Jordan Mason when he got injured. You know, so they'll use multiple guys, I think, until they figure out which one's better. But right now, give a slight edge to Kalon Black. So the fact that he's back healthy and practicing sooner than James gives him a slight advantage.
Talk about Jameson Williams, why he's a riser for you. The Laporta injury?
The Laporta injury, yeah. I mean, you know, again, you saw what happened last year. We don't know the extent of how long Laporta's going to be out. It's down. they're downplaying it, which is encouraging. But still, you know, for a guy that, if you recall at the time, the back injury was expected to be minor, and then they shut him down for the rest of the season. So I think it was just kind of like, again, sort of reshuffling. So I originally had Evans ahead of Jameson. I moved Evans behind Jameson and just moved Jameson. Right now, prior to yesterday, or prior to this news, he was behind Romo Dunze and Christian Watson. I just moved ahead of those guys again, all in a very similar draft range prior to this, just bumping him up with the potential of, oh God, if LaPorta misses any time, Jameson's numbers were significantly better without LaPorta last year. Significantly more targets, just a bigger piece. And by all accounts, he's having a great training camp. So, you know, hopefully Jameson, you know, the best thing about this is I think they all could be special. And that's the fun thing about the Lions offense.
I think I had Jameson pretty close to where Jamie's moved him. So I agree with where he's got him ranked. Can we please have a little bit more information? I saw somebody in the chat said, what LaPorta injury? It's like, it does sound like he got hit in the hip, which could still be really painful and could be really bad if it was like the exact wrong place to get hit. But I feel a little better about that than he tweaked something in his hip and he has some ligament or muscular issue there. It does sound like it may just be like a really bad bruise. So I haven't moved LaPorta yet. I'm hopeful that we get some more clarification this week, though, because I think I've now drafted him in every one of my drafts that count so far.
And to be fair, I have not moved LaPorta at all either. I think just, you know, it's more the what could Jameson be if there is no LaPorta? Like, that would be probably 10 spots higher than where he is right now.
Well, where is LaPorta for you guys? Because on CBS, he's one of the biggest fallers, obviously. Most of the fallers are injured players. He's down 7 spots to 78th overall, same ADP as Tucker Kraft for Sam LaPorta, and 99th on NFC for Sam LaPorta over the last 6 days. That's tight end 8. So, I mean, 99th, yeah, we'd be doing cartwheels if we can get Sam LaPorta 99th. We don't even know if he's going to miss a game, but how about 78th? Heath, is that still good for you?
So I took him in round 7 of my draft last night, right about there. I still have him ranked about a round and a half above there, but I just don't have to worry about it because I can wait for Sam LaPorta to be drafted. And last night, I can wait for Tyler Warren to be drafted. Last night, Kyle Pitts and Tucker Kraft went ahead of him as well. I think he's a 5-6 turn guy for me.
Most places you will see, most rank lists you will see, most draft rooms you will see will have Pitts ahead of LaPorta for sure at this point, and almost certainly have Kraft in the same range, if not higher as well. So the people are concerned about LaPorta. I mean, look, you got burned by him last year, and now he's dealing with an injury as well. So it's understandable, like, when you're stacking him up to those guys. If I see him behind Fannin, like, that's where I'm doing cartwheels, because I would much rather have LaPorta, and still at this point, I'd rather have LaPorta over Kittle. Some people will disagree with us on that as well. There's still plenty of upside for what LaPorta is. Like Heath said, it's not anything that's a significant injury, and that's why Jameson was moved up more of a contingency. LaPorta hasn't moved for me at all.
And I think if we want to raise more money for St. Jude, I think a cartwheel contest amongst the FFT staff would have been pretty appealing. Tell Claire to put it on the list for next year.
Didn't do you think you'd be more competitive than you were at tennis?
You know, that's not fair. Do I get to finish the cartwheel competition? See my strategy through?
I'm so glad you said that, because I want to get, I guess I'm giving you credit. I 100% put in your position would have not acknowledged that I lost. Your entire game plan was lose game one, set one, don't expend too much energy, win set two, win the tiebreaker because Dan's puking up pizza. Yeah. And you had to quit after 3 games in set 2. You didn't lose. This is a travesty.
Oh,
it's postponed. You guys should finish the match up in New Jersey, go to his home court, whatever. But you didn't lose. The match got postponed. Oh, that's true. He wouldn't win because Dan wouldn't be tired.
Right.
But like this is like a rain out in the 4th inning.
Yeah.
And we're calling the game and giving the team that was ahead the win. It's complete nonsense, and I would not have accepted it.
Can I ask you a question?
I mean,
I did.
No, you didn't. You bitched and moaned the entire post-game rant.
No,
of course you did.
I said I probably would have lost, but I would have liked to have seen my strategy play out.
You were more gracious than I would have been.
And to be fair, I said you're going to win. You know, watching that, you had just broken a serve. I thought you were going to, to what he said, I thought you were going to execute your plan because he was a sweaty, burping mess.
And yeah, man.
Throwing his racket. And the best thing that happened Friday was he tried to be gracious. And then when I said that you were going to win, he freaked out again.
Yeah. My tennis, the tennis pro, Brad, remember he had him on last year. He called me and he's like, how you feeling? I said, motivated. And he said, good. We're going to get him next year.
No. I think it's a mark on Dan's character that he accepted the victory.
No, he deserved. I mean, look, he probably was going to win still. I wasn't playing well enough and I'm, you know, but, yeah, obviously I want to see it play out. But he's, you know, he's got a lot of excuses. He's got a lot of excuses. He's already playing the indigestion card in the first set. So, yeah, it's always going to be an excuse with him.
He said that we sabotaged him on purpose, that we took him to the pizza place that he liked initially and then didn't like after he started vomiting in his mouth.
All right, other risers and fallers here. Josh Downs.
Did you hear the burping while you're watching it?
No.
Oh, wait, I know what I was going to ask. What did you set the line at for games?
For you to win?
Yeah.
I think it was 9.5.
9.5? Wow, you thought I was going to win
the game. I expected you to win the second. I thought you were going to win the second set, and I still think I still maintain you would have.
I love it. I love the confidence. All right, Josh Downs, Jamie, a riser for you.
Yeah, I think you heard me say after the Keenan Allen signing that I was just going to avoid all of it. And really, the Alec Pierce injury just continues to linger and linger and linger. So I can't get away from Josh Downs being the best Colts receiver. So all I did was basically put Downs where I had Pierce, which is in the late 30s, high 40s. It's still a situation I would prefer to avoid because I think Keenan Allen is the destroyer of all good things for fantasy the last few years. But if you're going to draft a Colts receiver first, it's got to be Downs.
Do you feel that way about Tyler Warren as well, that Keenan Allen's going to destroy him?
Not to the same level, no.
Okay. Would you draft Sam Laporta or Josh Downs right now?
I would draft Sam Laporta.
Sam Laporta. And I do think it's interesting that like that whole group of tight ends, like we hit Sam Laporta's falling because he's got the hip, maybe hip pain or hip bruise, something like that. We've got Tucker Kraft and George Kittle coming off of the major injuries. And then it's kind of gone under the radar because the Colts are downplaying it. But Tyler Warren's got a groin injury, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to be back this week, hopefully. But yes, he does.
The tight end news that we got last week was that Warren and Laporta's injuries were minor, which is, you know, again, I haven't moved either one.
I remember a month ago when Alec Pierce was a week away.
Yeah.
I remember in March when they signed it to a big deal.
And George Kittle's a riser. And DeJuan Stribling, I mean, he's making me nervous about my Mike Evans love, and so is Mike Evans. But I mean, sure, he looks so good. I think the All-22 is insanely good just from the very few routes that he ran in preseason week 2. He got open on almost all of them, and he's killing guys out there. Stribling, I mean, should he be a top 100 pick at this point?
On the cusp, if he's not there ready. I mean, he's getting overdrafted, which is, you know, something that happens with these preseason guys that have a lot of buzz plus good performance plus injuries around them. But again, you know, he hasn't been doing this with Evans and Kittle and Debo and Christian McCaffrey on the field, and that's something to take into account. That said, if you're betting on somebody being an injury replacement at this point, this is as good a bet as you can make because Evans continues to get banged up. Christian Kirk may not make the final roster. Kittle, as Heath just alluded to, coming off a very significant injury, as we know, and McCaffrey's 30, coming off 2 huge seasons. So this could be the guy for Brock Purdy. I'm curious to see what the final ADP will be in a couple of weeks of the rookies, because I still think Carnell Tate will be the first rookie receiver drafted. But the competition for number 2 right now, I think, is between Stribling and Casey Concepcion, where I think everybody thought it was going to be Jordan Tyson and Mekhi Lemon. And so, like, in this redraft, obviously, but like which of the two, you know, guys, Concepcion being a first round pick, so it kind of makes some sense. But like Stribling's been such a significant riser, it's hard to overlook what he could be. You know, again, you don't want to overvalue it because it is preseason and it is, you know, without those other guys, but just the opportunities are fantastic.
And I don't think it probably means anything. And I know I'm going to say this name and everybody's probably going to laugh at me. But I do think that we've also had a couple of reports that at practice, DeMarcus Robinson's still practicing ahead of Stribling with the ones.
Well, I'm pretty sure that...
Was that Grant Cohn?
No, wait. Was Stribling off the field in 3 receiver sets? He may have been. I think in the preseason week 2 game, I think Debo Samuel and DeMarcus Robinson where the you know, the outside receivers and three receiver sets Stribling was playing. However, I mean, I just feel like Stribling will overtake DeMarcus Robinson. And I think even Matt Maiocco in that interview with Rich Eisen said the starters are going to be Mike Evans and DeJuan Stribling and Deebo Samuel. I think he said that. Ah, man, I wish I was more certain.
There's also a report yesterday. I mean, it's so hard to gauge these guys because, like, there was a report that said Jacob Cowing was playing over Deebo Samuel, you know, so like, I don't know how they'll line up. It just feels as if like they're doing everything possible to get Stribling prepared to play all three spots. And if there's an injury that occurs, he's going to be the one that benefits the most while also playing alongside those guys, you know? So I think just when you're talking about it, like when I see him in round six and round seven, okay, that's a little bit of a reach because there are other great players going around him. Like there's no way I'm taking Stribling over Chris Godwin, for example, but I think like that's the range that he's starting to creep into, which is ridiculous. Yeah. I still would take Carnell Tate over him, despite the fact that Tate's quarterback looks awful right now.
Yeah.
And Purdy is clearly in a better spot. That being said, it's just a very crowded receiving core for the 49ers. And if everybody's healthy, he's going to be probably left out, or at least left out to a degree where you're drafting him in a spot that's unrealistic.
And I'm going to update my rookie rankings for those people that have their rookie drafts the last couple weekends. But I would still definitely 100% take Mekhi Lemon ahead of him.
But you wouldn't take Omar Cooper.
And Jordan Tyson.
But you wouldn't take Omar Cooper ahead of him.
No, I think I'll have Stribling ahead of Cooper. Yeah.
What
he's
got
to be a first round pick at this point.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Denzel Boston.
I'll probably still have Boston ahead of him.
That's a great one, though.
Well, here's his average draft position. Here's Stribling and some other wide receivers, their average draft position on NFC, half PPR leagues over the last 6 days. So you got Josh Downs at 39, Pittman at 40. Wandale Robinson's wide receiver 41. Jaden Reed is 42. DeJuan Stribling is 43. These are all top 100 picks. Casey Concepcion is 44. Alec Pierce is 45. So, you know, what do you think about Downs, Pittman, Wandale, Jaden Reed, Stribling, Concepcion, Alec Pierce, Stephon Diggs, Matthew Golden, Jordan Addison? Big group there, but Stribling's ADP amongst this group.
I would take all those guys over Stribling.
They're fair comps in several of these, but I think if you're taking Stribling this high, you know, this is NFC.
Yeah.
So it's not taking into account like any potential keeper leagues. I think you're banking on the guys that are on the roster with him, not just Evans, but the guys on the roster with him missing time. And if they do, then he could significantly benefit. So if the substation works its evil magic, you know, Stribling could be a potential starter in 3 receiver leagues.
Okay. That brings us to the fallers here. Oh, actually, no. Heath's risers. Travis Achane, Dalton Schultz, Jalen Coker, and Dalton Kincaid.
I kind of focused, because Jamie sent in a good list, I kind of focused on the guys that had moved since last week's preseason game. So some of these were in the period of time when there weren't any games on Tuesday and Wednesday. I think I talked a little bit about Achane last week. He is either RB13 or RB14 from somewhere between 12 and 14 for me, actually, depending on Josh Jacobs and Ashton Jeanty. He was a guy I was pretty worried about with the Kamara situation, and I am just even more skeptical that Alvin Kamara will be good enough to have any kind of role at all in this offense. So he's a round 3 pick for me now. I think I said that last week, maybe, but if you're wanting to take a running back in round 3, I would take, it's either going to be Jeanty, Jacobs, or Achane, and it's probably going to depend on your risk tolerance. I think Achane has a higher floor than both of those guys right now.
Do you not have Jeremiah Love in round 3 at this point?
I do not.
Okay.
Same.
All right. And what's, they traded for a running back, the Saints?
Yeah, big trade. You can see?
No.
Oh, I can't wait for this name.
They traded for Zamir White.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't see that.
Wasn't he just signed like 2 weeks ago?
Yes.
Great yes. Move by whoever pulled that. Was that the 49ers?
49ers, yeah, for Deion Jones.
That's some elite fantasy football.
I mean, that's like Azure trading to the extreme.
All right, Dalton Schultz.
I think we talked about this maybe at the very end of last week, but he was the biggest mover for me with the Jaden Higgins injury. He had, I think, 107 targets last year on a team that threw the ball 150 times to Christian Kirk and Jaden Higgins. And I wish it was Tank Dell, but something has really set him back, and he hasn't practiced for like a week. And the beat writers have pretty much already started talking like there's no way he plays week one. Jalen Noel hasn't gotten to the point to where he's ready to be a full participant yet. There's a chance that Dalton Schultz is just this clear. I mean, he was the number two target last year, but he could have 110, 115 targets in this offense just because there's nobody besides Nico to throw to. I did move Nico up a couple of spots in my top 200. He's a clear round two pick now, but Schultz is up into that round 10 range for me.
Okay. Jalen Coker and Dalton Kincaid.
One more thing I wanted to say about Schultz is I think he is the absolutely perfect guy to pair with one of these injury questionable tight ends. If you're worried your guy might not be 100% for week one or might have some sort of setback, Schultz is the floor tight end that I'm targeting in that scenario. Jalen Coker, I'm encouraged by the fact that they're not just trying to play Teteroa McMillan more in the slot. They're also playing Jalen Coker more in the slot. I think he's the guy who had the spectacular finish to last year that everyone's kind of ignored still. Parker Washington's now a borderline top 24 wide receiver, and Michael Wilson people are more excited about, it seems like, than Jalen Coker. But I move Jalen Coker up into round 9. I think he's a really good fourth wide receiver for you.
Stribling or Coker?
I would take Coker.
Jamie, Stribling or Coker?
I think that's kind of where I have it. I think I have Coker and then Stribling, but they're very close.
Okay. Man, it's a lot of really good, exciting wide receivers. Maybe that's not the right word. Enticing wide receivers. Mm-hmm. You know, when you get to that point, all the names we said, Josh Downs and Jalen Coker and DeJon Stribling and Jordan Addison and
both Packers guys, not named Watson. Yeah,
exactly. And that deciding who to take, maybe it depends on your roster. I don't think
Jacoby Myers in that range now.
I don't think Coker has the upside of some of those guys, right? I mean,
well, you say that, but the last five games of the season last year, he outscored Teteroa McMillan by 5 PPR points per game, including the playoffs. And this feels like, while not a great passing offense, you're going to get concentrated targets. You know, so McMillan and Coker should dominate targets for this team. You know, with Leggett being the third option, and the running backs, we'll see if they're significantly involved in the passing game. So the pass volume, not great, but opportunities, significant. And so, you know, Coker was kind of a darling for fantasy analysts last year, kind of the same thing again this year. Last year, he missed the first 6 games of the season and then that ramp up period. And then it looked like the guy I think everybody was hoping to see. So I don't know if I would say there's not enough upside, but you can make a case, sir, that the other guys, you know, because of the teams that they're on are better.
Yeah. Okay. Kincaid. I don't get it with Kincaid. I mean, look at where he's going in NFC over the last 6 days. He's tight end 10. He's going ahead of Isaiah Likely, Travis Kelce, and Dallas Goedert.
He is my tight end 11, so yeah, wow. He's one. Well, it's really easy to understand why, especially in NFC, when you're talking about these leagues where they really are emphasizing upside and trying to beat maybe 2,500 teams instead of trying to beat 11. Dalton Kincaid was the most efficient tight end pass catcher in the NFL last year, led all tight ends in yards per route run. He has the pedigree from the past. The problem's always been that he can't stay healthy and he can't stay on the field. And there has been a steady drumbeat from Bills beat writers that he looks better as a blocker. He's stayed healthy. I'm not sure he's missed a practice. I'm not sure if that's ever happened in his career in training camp. And I just think that the upside, if Dalton Kincaid all of a sudden turns into a 75, 80% snap share guy in this with Josh Allen, the upside is worth taking him in that round at tight end 10 through 12 range.
Right. But now he has DJ Moore. So who is he ahead of for you? Is he ahead of Kelce?
He is ahead of Goddard.
Goddard. Okay. But not ahead of Likely.
not right now. It's gonna be really funny if Dalton Kincaid has a higher snap share than Isaiah Likely, because if you told me that was going to happen, I would have him ahead of Likely because he has a better quarterback. He's in a better offense. I don't think it's outrageous to take him ahead of Likely.
Yeah, well, Neighbors hasn't played yet, obviously, but just, you know, not disagreeing with Heath, but Neighbors hasn't played yet, but every single time I read a Giants report, they keep throwing to Isaiah Likely. I think he's clearly going to, I think he'll be the number two target on the Giants when Neighbors comes back. And if Neighbors is out anytime, he'll be the number one guy, I think.
You don't think that Kincaid could be number two on the Bills?
I think it'll be Shakir.
Timber Shakir.
Yeah.
I don't think that DJ Moore is going to demand the same target share as Malik Neighbors either.
Like a healthy Neighbors, no. I don't know what to expect from Neighbors. I don't know. I don't think he's going to be like a 10 target guy. If he were, he's going too late in round three.
The thing for Kincaid that's in his favor right now is you got both Shakir and Keon Coleman dealing with injuries. Yeah. And so that could help. Plus, they're trying to improve his work as a blocker, keep him on the field.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to some fallers. But first, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll tell you why Tyrone. Well, I think you probably know why Tyrone Tracy is falling. But Jackson Dart is also falling in the rankings. We'll be right back on FFT. Ooh, that little football promo we just ran on YouTube really fired me up. Let's go.
The first time you've seen it?
I think so. That was awesome. I'm really excited for football now. Okay, Tyrone Tracy and Kyle Monongai are two followers for Heath, perhaps for different reasons. What do we got?
Yeah, it's funny. I had Tyrone Tracy as a follower and had dropped him out of the first 10 rounds. And then as I'm looking at my rankings this morning, I'm like, there's this huge group, and there's different levels to this, but the Marshawn Lloyds, the Tyler Algiers, the Jonah Colemans, the Braylon Allens, like all these handcuff running backs. I don't want to take Tyrone Tracy ahead of any of those guys. I'm no longer sure that he has a higher floor than those guys, which I thought he would definitely have. And I don't think he has anywhere close to the same upside as those guys. It's possible he doesn't even have a role if Najee Harris is what we thought he was going to be. I'm not sure you need to draft Tyrone Tracy, but if you do, I wouldn't do it before round 14.
Yeah, totally feel that. And what about Kyle Monongai?
I've just moved him a little bit for now, but I do think he's behind Blake Corum now. I had him ahead of Blake Corum. I'd already moved Jonathan Brooks ahead of both of them. I've got Bill. I've got RJ Harvey ahead of him. I think when you're talking about a backup running back who may not be healthy for week one and may not be as effective early in the season, we just can't draft that guy too high. So he's like a round 9 pick, 10 pick for me now.
And if we look at, did you move DeAndre Swift up?
I'm already quite a bit ahead of consensus on DeAndre Swift. He's a round 3-4 pick for me, like 4, but very, very early in round 4. So I moved him up for about 2 hours last night.
It's Jenty.
Jenty was behind him.
So just real quick, give me a round for Swift.
4.
4?
He just said,
yeah, I thought so too, but I thought that's what he said. Jamie, give me a round for Swift.
Exactly where Heath is. I would consider him in round 3, but round 4.
Okay, so that I saw this comment distracted me. Sorry. Moonzo Man says, I am out on the Giants backfield right now. Is that an overreaction?
I mean, I'm out on it if I have to take Scataboo in round 3 because I don't really want to target any of the backup guys. Like, I have Scataboo in early round 5, so I'm probably not going to get much of Scataboo. Tracy was the one that I was drafting the most of because of where his ADP was, or at least his draft value was, the last few weeks prior to the missed block, poor play call, whatever, however you want to define it, where Dart got hurt. I don't think it's all on Tracy. And then the fumble. But also, look, they signed Najee Harris for a reason, whether that's to be the third guy or the second guy or maybe even the starter. So he's in a bad spot. I think he's nailed it. You're looking at him as a very late round maybe he could still be the guy. Look, this could be a Genty out for X amount of games, somebody out for X amount of games. They trade him.
Who?
The Giants trade Tracy.
Oh, Tracy. Oh, I was like, I thought Scataboo. Yeah.
No, I think at cost, we are out on the Giants backfield.
Yeah, but if he gets to round five, I've been kind of out on Scataboo all along because, you know, I just afraid of these guys coming off these horrible injuries, and he's not a big play guy. He just scored a lot of touchdowns, and he had a ton of catches, on pace for 60 catches in his normal snap share games. He had two games where he barely played, but normal snap share, he was on pace for 60 catches. Based on what we've seen in the preseason, they are not using him in that role. They are not using him as their third down back right now. It has been Tyrone Tracy, so I don't think the catches are going to be there. Plus, Neighbors wasn't playing last year when he had those 60 catches, although Wandale was. But start to get to round five, like I said on
pace for 60 catches.
On pace, yeah. If I said on CBS Sports Network, if the Giants look at Cam Scataboo, Tyrone Tracy, Devin Singletary, and Najee Harris, and they don't go, we have got to give the ball to Cam Scataboo a lot, then they're idiots. These other guys are not starting NFL running backs. They're not. At least Scataboo has a chance to be that. And let's not forget, he was amazing last year. Now, again, I have been the low guy on him, but I think it might get to the point where people are so down on him, like this guy saying, I'm out on the Giants backfield. He was so good last year. And Jamie, that transitions to your fallers here, because Jackson Dart, like, I'm in a 14-team, you know, quote-unquote experts league, the flex best ball draft. And it's a 4 point per passing touchdown league. And I took Dart as my second quarterback. I think I took Dak Prescott as my first, but nobody seemed to want to take Jackson Dart. Nobody likes him right now. He's a faller for you. And I get it, but we have to balance it with the fact that he was so good. He's not going to be aesthetically pleasing, but he was so good last year. And he, I don't know. Is he going to fall too much? Where do you have Jackson Dart?
14, but I was relatively the high guy on him. I think I had him at 10 or 11. I think it was 11 prior to this. So as I said, you know, I just kind of flipped the two guys around in terms of Purdy and Dart. And really, it's just a matter of like, where's the upside play? So I think Dart still has plenty of upside. It's just a matter of how many rushing touchdowns will he score? How much will his rushing production, you know, be limited because the Giants want to make sure he's healthy. Plus, as we've talked about a lot, you know, what they seemingly want to be, which I think adding a guy like Najee Harris speaks to that, is ball control, not necessarily have to play in these frenetic comeback situations like we saw last year. I just don't know if Dart gets back to that level of play. So like when we talk about, and I don't want to put this on him, but like, you know, CJ Stroud's regression from his great rookie season to what he's become, you know, just really the step back as a sophomore, I think we can see a little bit of that from Dart. I don't think he's going to, you know, fail as much, but when you start to get into those number two quarterbacks, depending on what rank list you look like, but I think really just more like, you know, staring at ADP, you know, so Mahomes is QB 13. So I think with him is where it kind of comes into the conversation. So Mahomes, Goff, Knicks, Kyler, I think Shuck is high for Heath. You know, some of those guys that have Jordan Love, you know, you want to throw him in that conversation, you know, some of those guys that like, where's the upside play? I think Dart is kind of closer to that group than he is to like Trevor Lawrence, Caleb Williams, you know, those guys that could really take a step forward in 2026.
Okay. And other fallers for Jamie, we have to also get to the people who are falling in CBS ADP, but we've got Ashton Genty, obviously, Mike Evans, Alec Pierce, who's injured, and Jalen Naylor, not having a good start to his Raiders tenure. Undraftable, Jalen Naylor. Wow. Mike Evans, though, what are we doing with him?
So, you know, some of what I said is just corresponding moves, but that group of receivers for me, which was kind of late round five, which is Mike Evans, Parker Washington, Jameson Williams, Romo Odunze, Christian Watson. I just put Evans at the back end of that group. Just, I mean, how many injuries is he going to fight through, deal with, get frustrated over in this offense right now? And now you're seeing another player emerging in Stribling and the return of Kittle. And so I still think there's a ton of upside. I agree with you. You know, we did the your guys, your all-in guys. I think that was a fair point you made about what he could be. It would not shock me if he has the seventh season in his career of 1,000 yards receiving and 10 touchdowns. That's on the table for him. But it may not be the totality of his numbers, it may be he's projected to do this because of all the games he might miss. So still could lead the 49ers in targets, still could be the guy for Brock Purdy, still could be the Juwan Jennings where he scores 9 touchdowns as Jennings did last year.
Yeah.
But it's just getting frustrating to watch all of these things add up for him and knowing that each of the last 2 years he's missed significant time.
I think he's going to end up in round 6 at this point, or at least if we were drafting today, because you look at NFC ADP, if you're seeing it on the screen here, over the last 6 days, Mike Evans is 56th overall. That's round 5. He's wide receiver 30, but he's the last wide receiver in round 5. And he just got this hamstring injury. And I've seen his ADP on other sites be in round 6. I don't want to take him in round 5 right now, but round 6, I think worth the risk. That's the thing. Like, you got to look at upside here. Is it worth the risk? So let me ask you, would you take any of the guys after Mike Evans in this list that we're looking at? Would you take them ahead of Mike Evans? Carnell Tate?
No.
No.
Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Yes.
That's the back-to-back guys for me. I'd still take Evans.
Brian Thomas Jr.?
No.
Yes.
Chris Godwin?
No. No.
All right. We'll stop there. And that's it. Oh, Alec Pierce, top 100 pick?
No.
No.
Okay. Top 120?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you to Whoop for sponsoring this week's Risers and Fallers. With Whoop, you can better understand how your body is responding to the travel, training, late nights, weather changes. It helps you see what's supporting your energy and recovery and what might be holding you back so you can make meaningful changes to enhance your overall health. Once again, if you'd like to join Jamie and Heath and tons of other Whoop users and learn how you can get a free month on us, head to whoop.com today. That's whoop.com. On CBS, who's rising and falling? This is a useful tool here. You just go to our CBS ADP and you can see the arrows pointing up or down. David Montgomery's up 5 spots to 51st overall. We talked about him. DJ Moore is up 4 spots, but he's still only 58th overall on CBS, DJ Moore. And he's 41st on NFC since August 18th. Again, wide receivers go very early, but he's just after Tetero McMillan. So that means DJ Moore on NFC, he's right after that group of Garrett Wilson and Zay Flowers and Ladd McConkey and Tetero McMillan, etc. I feel like Jamie's there with him, with DJ Moore. Heath, how about you?
I am not where NFC is. I am ahead of where CBS is. So I think I have him 52nd. So happy to draft him in round 5, not drafting him in round 4.
Okay. I said he's up 4 spots. Right now I'm seeing he's up 7 spots. I'm sorry. I'm looking at non-PPR. Pardon me. So yeah, that was right. He's up, DJ Moore up 4 spots in ADP. And that let's go to Jadarian Price, Jamie. He is now kind of where where Mike Evans is, right at the 5-6 turn, 59th overall. Jadarian Price is up 4 spots. Would you take him or Bajal Tuten?
Struggle with those two. Right now I have Tuten ranked ahead. I think the fact that he's gotten some passing downs work in practice, significant passing down work in practice with LaQuint Allen out is positive. Look, Price is a gamble on really on Zach Charbonnet, because if Charbonnet is going to return early in the season, then that's going to be a problem for Jadarian Price. I think if there's the expectation that we had of Charbonnet missing, you know, the first half of the year, then Price could be awesome and well worth his cost and probably undervalued. So, you know, you know what the Seahawks, I think, still want to be, which is, you know, control the clock and lean on their ground game, and Price is a first-round talent, and hopefully that all matters. But he's still a guy that shared in college and didn't have a hefty workload, already has been a little bit banged up in camp. And I know that anytime you hear the name George Halani, it's not about Halani being better than Price. That's never the issue. It's about another player just being used in the backfield that they might want to give touch to. And that could easily be Emmanuel Wilson. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be George Halani. It just seems like he's the guy that's ahead. But I just think that Price is, no pun intended, priced right. You know, he's a good late round 5, early round 6 selection, low end number 2 running back. If you like him, I think the range of running backs that he should be grouped with is like even as high as like not an ADP, but like Scadaboo, Judkins, Montgomery, Irving, that group, he belongs in it.
I think I do have Jadarian Price and Mike Evans back to back. but I'm about a round or round and a half behind on both of them. And I think the similarity they have is that for as long as Mike Evans is healthy, you're going to have to deal with people victory lapping the fact that you were too low on Mike Evans. And until Zach Charbonnet comes back, going to have to deal with people victory lapping that I was too low on Jadarian Price. I just don't like, maybe I'll feel differently and more information will come out about Charbonnet, but the talk about him coming back early in the season has made me more concerned that he's going to be himself in the middle of the season. And I don't like drafting Price where he's going with the idea that, yeah, he's going to get me off to a great start, but then the most important part of the fantasy football season, he's going to, at the very least, going to be losing what Ken Walker lost to Charbonnet last year.
Okay, fair enough, because I think that's what people were thinking, like, all right, Charbonnet might be back, but what does that mean? He's coming off a torn ACL in January, but I like the way you frame that there, that he's making enough progress.
I just took him in a draft last week when we were together, the draft I was doing, Adam. So, yeah, so I took him as my third running back behind James Cook and David Montgomery. So I think I went Montgomery and Price back-to-back rounds.
I also took Jadarian Price last week in a 14-team league. I took him as my number two running back, 65th overall, one spot ahead of Jonathan Brooks. So Brooks was the next pick, and he is also one of our risers. He's up nine spots to 88th overall, but that's the thing. Like, Jonathan Brooks is not going to go 88th overall. He's going to go earlier than that now. And over the last 6 days on NFC, he's 68th overall. In the draft I just mentioned, he went 66th overall. So Heath, you like Jonathan Brooks, Jaylen Warren, or Ramondre Stevenson? That's kind of where he's going right now. What do you think?
I hate how this has transpired, because I loved Jonathan Brooks all summer, and I'm afraid that the steam has gone a little bit too far. So I've got him ahead of where his ADP currently is, but I would not take him in the 60s. So I'm still a little bit lower. Like, Chuba's injury is giving Brooks an opportunity, but I still think we're kind of looking at the same thing at the start of the season that we probably were.
So we had this, you know, weird situation unfold last night with Ashton Jeanty, with not knowing any information and people doing drafts, and it's going to continue to happen over the next couple of weeks of, oh, look, I got Jonathan Brooks in round six. Oh, no, Chuba Hubbard back at practice the next day. Oh, look, I got Jadarian Price in round six. Oh, no, Zach Charbonnet is going to play in week four. I got Luther Burden in round whatever, or I got Roman Dunze around whatever. Luther Burden's back already. You know, like, these injuries are going to change a lot of the scenarios and a lot of the landscapes of some of these teams and some of these players, positively or negatively. Like, you're going to get some good values. You know, I think Jeremiah Love could fall to a spot where it's like, I can't pass him up. And then, oh yeah, look, he's playing week one, so I may not have to start him week one, but by week four, he's great. You know, so you just have to understand, like, when you're taking some of these guys that are in undefined scenarios still because of injured teammates, it could really alter what the season long outlook looks like.
Okay. And you got like such a Simpsons quote in there, like, kind of with your, oh no, but I can't remember what it is. Like, I can't say it. Damn it. It was when Homer fakes his death. Anyway, that's Jonathan Brooks. Okay, so Jonathan Brooks, you see him here behind the Broncos guys. I think it's easy to take him ahead of them.
Yep.
But, yeah, who else? Rico Dowdle or Jonathan Brooks?
Brooks.
It's Dowdle for me.
Travion Henderson or Brooks?
Brooks for me.
Henderson for me.
One of the things about Brooks is, like, he hasn't really played that much in the preseason, but no, the Panthers' first team offense hasn't looked that great. So I still don't know what kind of rusher he is coming off these injuries. Fallers in CBS rankings. Emeka Ebuka is down five spots. He's now 43rd overall, still ahead of Lamar Jackson and Tedrell McMillan, but 43rd overall for Emeka Ebuka. I think he's trending in the right direction for week one with the toe injury. Heath, when would you take Emeka Ebuka?
I've got him at 37, so early round four is right where I would take him.
If you had him, like, if you thought Emeka Ebuka was going to be this year's breakout wide receiver and ahead of everybody, you know, Zay Flowers and McMillan and Wilson, blah, 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 that range I keep talking about. Are we comfortable enough putting him back there with, in terms of the injury, or we still have to be cautious with Ibuka?
Yeah, I don't know why you'd put Zay Flowers and Garrett Wilson in the same group, but
well, that's where they are in ADP.
I think you're probably going to get a little discount just because of the red cross or the white cross with the red outline. So late round three,
Ibuka 100% healthy would be a mid round three pick, and I would take him ahead of Flowers and Garrett Wilson.
Right, but that's the thing. Like, do we know if he's 100%
right now? He should go after those guys.
Okay. Tyler Warren down 8 spots to 59th overall. Again, this is where you can start taking advantage of the little red, you know, plus or cross, whatever it is, that the injured sign, because I don't think Tyler Warren should be going 59th overall. He's 57th.
He could have fallen a little bit due to the Keenan Allen signing.
Maybe.
Because Allen does work in the same area of the field as Warren, and whether we like it or not, he's continued to earn targets at a pretty high rate the last 2 years.
Does anybody on the team not work in that same area?
the guy who's hurt.
Right, exactly. What else we got? Sam Laporta down to 70th. We talked about him earlier. And RJ Harvey is down 10 spots to 87th overall. You know, RJ Harvey has basically worked exclusively with the first team in the two preseason games. Like he plays pretty much every snap, and then they bring in Jonah Coleman. I don't think I want to draft J.K. Dobbins. I don't think it's going to be the same as last year. I kind of feel like they're going to mix in Harvey more than they did.
J.K. Dobbins might be Jadarian Price.
In what regard? He could be in as that good
he
as
gets
him?
You off. He gets you off to a very good start. He's a clear lead back, and then Price loses it because Charbonnet comes back, and Dobbins, I don't want to say it.
I still don't mind Dobbins. I think he's in that range of running backs where it's still fine.
But should he go ahead of RJ Harvey?
Should Dobbins go ahead of RJ Harvey? Yes.
Yeah.
I have Dobbins just ahead of Harvey, but I have Harvey ahead of his ADP.
Okay, and he's falling in ADP right now to 87th. And Mekhi Lemon is down 12 spots to 130th overall. Again, he's injured, but that's pretty good value if you can get Mekhi Lemon at 120th. He is going 109th on NFC. Should we take Mekhi Lemon 109th?
No.
I've got him 114th.
Okay. All right, I have more news and notes and preseason thoughts. I'm going to save it for tomorrow. Also, get a lot of good questions here. And notes,
just in case anything's relevant to...
I did all the big news earlier, but sure. Parker Washington returned to practice. Jacoby Myers is still. But nobody was like changing anything.
I know you're trying to get out of here, but I will say last night in my draft for the first time this offseason, I drafted Parker Washington. And I did it just before Christian Watson and Marvin Harrison Jr. And I felt stupid for the next hour. And so I just really hope you guys are right. Not you guys, but like the world and the Parker Washington hype. Cause I'm still not there, but I didn't want to have zero Parker Washington teams.
Nick Chubb retired. Cleveland defensive end Alex Wright is out for the season with a torn Achilles. That's not good. Chargers running back Keaton Mitchell, who seems to be the number two running back on the team, he missed practice. Torrey Horton for the Seahawks, he's out indefinitely with an undisclosed injury. Very vague there. Jake Bobo, more of a special teams guy, he's out for the season. Houston signs Zay Jones. John Mashota of the Athletic thinks that Malik Davis will start the season as Dallas's number two running back. And the Rams are seemingly looking to get Terrence Ferguson, their second year tight end, more involved. That is good to see. We have to talk about Cam Ward and how bad this Titans offense has looked. I mean, this is the team that is going starters against backups and sucking in the preseason. It's bad. We'll talk about that tomorrow, plus more on Fantasy Football Today. Thanks for watching and listening, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Podcasts.